With the shortened NHL season drawing to a close, it seems only natural that Chris Withers and Jason Carello would gather themselves together and try to pretend that they hadn't sloughed off of their duties for the entirety of the season, pretending like they've put together a season's worth of podcasts when in fact they've only recorded 4 times in a calendar year. Well, here we are, pucked in the head, our playoff predictions. My name is Jason Carello. I am one half of the podcasting duo known as Pucked in the Head. I'm here with the other half of that esteemed pair, Chris Withers.
And hello to our 5 listeners that have stuck through this challenging year of recording, what, only 4 times, you said?
This is our 4th time recording a podcast in a calendar year. 4.
So since January of this year, or are we talking all the way back to April of last year?
Since April of last year. We have not done very many of these. I don't know the exact number. I'm making up a number. I'm saying 4. We may have done more than that. But I don't think your number of 5 listeners is exaggerating. I would imagine that if regularity and consistency are what makes a good blog or a good podcast, then we have a horrible podcast because we are very inconsistent.
Yeah. Oh, well.
However, I am regular, and I'd like to thank Bran Flakes for that.
All right.
There we go. So
not Fiber One.
Not Fiber One. I hate that crap. Fiber One, kiss my ass.
All right. Hey, it's playoff season.
It's coming up on playoffs. By the way, Fiber One, if you would like to sponsor our podcast, not only will we become more regular, I will also say good things about you, and I will say how much I hate Bran Flakes. The playoffs are about to begin, but before we talk about the NHL playoffs, I have 2 things I would like to say.
Okay.
The first one is, where did this, is it Ovechkin?
Now hang on a second. When you say that you have 2 things to say, you should, in general, make statements, not ask questions.
All right. Alexander Ovechkin, now the leading goal scorer in the NHL this season. This after the first 2.5 months of the shortened season, where people were saying he was done, he was dead in the water, he was dead weight, all of these things. And now 30-plus goals on the year. He's brought Washington from second to last in the NHL all the way to the head of the Southeast Division.
Uh-huh.
And the guy is on freaking fire again. This is Ovechkin from 3 seasons ago.
And I think what's more impressive than that is that he seems to have done it with line mates who, I think Dave Semenko might be one, and a bag of pucks on the other side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Dave Semenko was a bag of pucks. What's the difference between those two? I'm not sure.
Well, bag of pucks can't punch things.
Okay, that's fair. First of all, Ovechkin has been moved down towards the net on the power play. They're no longer playing him at the point. He's snuck down into the Brett Hull position at the side of the net. That's something I've been saying about the Caps for a couple of seasons, that he did not belong on the point in the power play. It's the same thing, same problem I have with either of the Sedins being on the power play at the point. They shouldn't be back there. They should be down towards the net on the
goal line. It's a little bit different because Alex Ovechkin can actually shoot the puck.
You're saying Daniel Sedin can't score?
I'm sure he can score, but he's...
He's not a point man.
No, he's not a point man, but Ovechkin can play that role. He's got a quick enough release on his wrist shot that he can play that role.
No, Alex Ovechkin does not belong on the point. He belongs near the net.
They had definitely figured him out, and it was time for a change. I will grant you that. But he was... To compare him to one of the Sedins on the point is just ludicrous.
No, I mean, I'm not a fan in general of putting a forward on the point on the power play anyway. Even if you don't have a quarterbacking defenseman, the fact is that those types of forwards who have a nose for the net need to be near the net to smell it. I mean, there's no way that they should be way back at the blue line, 60 feet from the net. If you're a natural scorer, you need to be down on or near that goal line. You should be below the hash marks, definitely. I don't agree with having them up at the point at all.
So Alex Ovechkin, from pretty much out of nowhere, given his start to the season, is now probably a legitimate heart contender, wouldn't you say?
If you read it by the letter of the rules, the most valuable to your team, as opposed to the most valuable in the league. The most valuable to your team? Yes, I would say he's up there. Because when he has performed, Washington has won. Now, mind you, they're also playing a huge number of their games against Carolina and Florida. Florida is atrocious this year. It's almost like they've already started tweeting on their main account, hey, fans, what do you think of Seth Jones? I mean, come on. They're playing for a pick. That's atrocious. That's awful.
Yeah, 11 wins in regulation or overtime.
And this was a playoff team last year.
They were, weren't they? Oh, my goodness.
They were a surprise playoff team last year.
It must be really tough to be a Panthers fan. I mean, there are some down there.
I've never been to Florida, so I won't comment. I'm sure there are some very nice people who pay good money to sit in that arena and watch the quote-unquote hockey they play.
They don't play good money.
What are they playing? Are they paying dirty, laundered money?
$8 to get into that place. So.
Yeah, that's true. $8, and I'm sure another $8 gets you all you can eat.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fact is, I just want to say, very interesting that Ovechkin heats up at exactly the time when Sidney Crosby, who was tearing up the Eastern Conference before he got hit in the jaw with a puck, and who still sits in first place overall in scoring, even though he's missed a few weeks with that broken jaw, that's when Ovi starts to heat up and really make an impact.
You're saying Ovechkin arranged for Sidney Crosby to get hit in the face by the puck?
No, I'm saying that I think it's curious that Alex Ovechkin has not, since the Vancouver Olympics, he has not played at the top of his game at the same time that Sidney Crosby has played at the top of his game. I find that curious. We have not seen these two superstars playing at the top of their game at the same time since before the Vancouver Olympics in 2010.
Okay.
I just find that curious. And we've talked about Ovechkin being a sucky baby on this very podcast.
Okay, I will grant you it is a curiosity.
That's all I wanted to say. Playoffs. The Leafs.
You had two things that you wanted to say.
Oh, sorry. That is correct. I did say that. Thank you for reminding
You're
me,
welcome.
Sir.
You're welcome.
You are an officer and a gentleman.
I know how much you like to hear yourself talk, so do go on.
Ha ha! Bastard. You're an officer, a gentleman, and a bastard.
And a bastard, there yes.
I would just like to say that Vancouver is hosting one of Hockey Canada's major tournaments this year. We have the Esso Cup right here in our backyard. This is the midget age AAA women who are playing at Bill Copeland Arena in Burnaby. These are the top women's teams out of each conference in Canadian women's hockey. Most of these tournaments, just by sheer number of players, most of these tournaments are held in Ontario and Quebec every year. So it's nice that we have one of these major tournaments here in Burnaby. It is an absolute travesty that Vancouver media can't get over themselves long enough to even mention the tournament.
Right, yeah.
And give it a little bit of play in the mainstream media here. I think it's awful.
You've already been out there shooting pictures a few times.
Yes, I have.
You mentioned a local connection, Stan Smeal's niece, I believe.
There are some spurious sources online that suggest she is Stan Smeal's niece. But Haley Smeal is the captain of the host team, the Fraser Valley Phantom. She's one of the players that, by the time this podcast has gone out, she will have been featured in photo form on our website. And she's the captain of the host team. They've had some difficulty so far. They did not win the Pacific region. They came in second place. And they have been spanked a little bit in their first two games.
Well, this isn't like, you know, the host team for the Memorial Cup that has a couple of years to stock up their roster and make sure they're ready. This is just a minor team that happens to be hosting. So.
Well, and they're not a bad team, to be honest. They're not a bad team. And they were the second place team in the Pacific region. But they have been spanked pretty convincingly. Quebec the other night really schooled them. And wow, I mean, some of the players on that Quebec team, they look like they could jump into a Team Canada jersey at the women's level pretty soon.
Well, good. And so that's Bill Copeland Arena.
Bill Copeland Arena.
That's on Kensington in Burnaby, is it not?
It is. And it's also, that's where the SFU Clan play.
Huh.
who I've done some color commentary for.
So for the local listeners, get out there and support the future of women's hockey.
There you go. And for local media people, none of whom actually listen to us, of course, I can freely say you people are awful. And you should really support the minor. Because you look at people like Bob McKenzie at TSN, Jeff Merrick at SportsNet, you look at Ron McLean at Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman. These people follow junior hockey, college hockey, women's hockey. They follow those levels of hockey. And for some reason, the people in this town, your Dave Pratts and your Jason Botchfords and all of these misfits who've been given a microphone in this town, think they're too big to go out and cover other levels of hockey. And I think that's awful.
One day you're going to apply for a media job in this town, and they're going to queue up an episode of your podcast, and it's probably going to be this one.
I hope they do. I really hope they do. And if that's the reason that they don't want to hire me, then that just confirms what I'm saying, that they can't get over themselves long enough to actually do their job of reporting sports in the region. That if they can't cover a team because it's not named Canucks, that just proves my point.
All right. Okay. So it's playoff season.
It is playoff season. We want to start in the East?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Two things we have to celebrate. Do we want to celebrate? Can we say celebrate? The Leafs and the Islanders are in.
I'm happy for the Islanders.
Holy hell. The Islanders shouldn't be allowed to be in just by virtue of that awful third jersey they have.
I think that the Islanders shouldn't be in just by virtue of their awful owner.
Charles Huang?
Yeah, Wang. He's a Wang.
Yeah, Wang. So, okay, but look at their young players. I mean, they've got some really good.
John oh, Tavares, absolutely.
Great for him to finally get in the
yeah,
in
Matt
the
Molson.
Matt Molson, good for him. Matt Molson, who's been overlooked for Team Canada at every turn, mm-hmm. now gets a chance to play in the postseason. Nice. Is Mark Straight still there?
I think so.
Mark Straight, good for these guys. I mean, they're getting into the dance. That's nice. I like that.
As for the Leafs, I can't really feel, I can't feel good for Leafs fans. They're all such dicks.
All.
Most of them.
All.
Most of them.
All.
The Leafs are also the largest beneficiaries of the 48-game season.
That is true. One thing I would like to say about them, though, just so that everyone remembers, the Toronto Maple Leafs are the only team in this man's NHL who did not make the playoffs between the last two of Gary Bettman's lockouts.
That is correct, yeah. Yeah, no, when they clinched, I was loving all of the, nobody has ever done this before. Nobody has ever watched a Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game broadcast in high definition.
Yes, that is true.
Nobody has ever checked an iPhone for a Toronto Maple Leafs playoff score. Nobody has ever tweeted about a Maple Leafs playoff run.
Yes. These are interesting things. The last time the Leafs made the postseason, can you name a few of the Leafs that were on that team? Coached by Pat Quinn.
Matt Sundin. Alex McGillney was on that team, I think. Brian Leetch had sold out and gone to the Leafs.
Joe Neuwendijk was on that team.
Joe Neuwendijk, remember of course, that?
Yeah. Ed Belfour was in net. Eddie the Eagle Belfour.
Was that when he destroyed the hotel?
You know who I am? Ed, do you know who I am? Belfour, I'll give you $1 billion. Ah. Belfour.
Was that before or after he destroyed the hotel room?
I believe that was before.
Or was that when he destroyed the hotel room?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. But yeah, there were quite a few good, like you said, Alex McGillney was on that team. It was a decent roster, actually.
And this year, it is, I'm just going to come out and say this, not a good roster.
Time will tell if names like Nazem Kadri will go down in Leaf lore as being, you know, of the same caliber as guys like Alex McGillney, right? I'm guessing not. But he's been exciting to watch.
He has been. Phil Kessel has had a career year. He's been excellent.
I think he is what we would call a much maligned player. We could say the much maligned Phil Kessel.
Yeah. It's interesting. He's had a large cloud over him in Toronto, I think, because of the way he came to the Leafs. Mm-hmm. I still think it was a pretty poor trade by Brian Burke.
He was also dealing with some personalities, trying to deal with some personalities at that time.
Okay, but he gave up what turned into Tyler Seguin. He also gave up Thomas Cavalli to get the other first-round draft pick back.
Okay.
From the Bruins.
Right.
That's a pretty hefty price.
Well, I mean, Thomas Cavalli was not exactly anchoring that back end the way he should have. I mean, he did an okay job with the Bruins for what he needed to do because he could be the fourth or fifth defenseman there. But they were expecting him to be the number one defenseman in Toronto at the time. He's not a number one guy.
Also, for the Leafs, they have had exceptional goaltending. James Reimer has been outstanding in net. Interesting, the leaders in Canadian goaltending save percentage this year.
By Canadian, do you mean nationality or Canadian teams?
Nationality. Have a guess.
Ooh.
Because we're going into Sochi next year in 2014.
We are? You and I are going into Sochi?
Yes. We are going.
I didn't know that.
In spirit.
I did not know that. I should start training. My save percentage is horrible.
The Royal We are going to Sochi.
Well, I'm assuming that James Reimer is in the mix. Otherwise, you wouldn't bring it up.
Certainly. He is the leader, actually, right
Brian
now.
Brian Elliott.
Is not in the top three.
What? He's been standing on his head in Ottawa.
He is not in the top three.
Okay, are we just talking about save percentage?
Yes.
Are we talking about goals against average?
Save percentage.
Okay, save percentage.
Goals against average measures a team's defensive standing.
Okay, but I'm just double checking, because I know that Brian Elliott's GAA has been unbelievable.
Okay.
Okay, so Canadian goaltenders' save percentage.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that Marc-Andre Fleury, Roberto Luongo, and Martin Brodeur are not in the top three.
They are not in the top three.
Otherwise, you wouldn't bring it up. I can't even think of who. So Jonathan Quick is American. Corey Schneider's American.
Yeah.
Can't be Carey Price with his horrible second half.
Not Carey Price, no.
All right. Enlighten me.
James Reimer is number one. Corey Crawford is number two.
Really?
Yeah. And number three, Devin Dubnyk.
Really?
Really.
Of the Edmundsuk Oilers.
Yes.
I can't believe I just said that. That's very rude. I would like to apologize to all of our listeners in Edmonton.
We don't have any, Jason. It's okay.
We here at Pucked in the Head respect your rebuilding mode and the excitement that your kid line and kid line two and kid line three and Ryan Smith bring to the ice. And
we do certainly hope that at some point Kevin Lowe will allow your younger players to touch his six Stanley Cup rings, as that's as close to one of their own as they will come.
And mainly, we hope that someday you will actually become a team that can challenge Vancouver for the division, so that Vancouver has to play more than three decent games a season to win the division. The most interesting thing that I find about the Leafs, beside the fact, obviously, they've had some very good goaltending. Just the other night, Reimer stopped 49 of 50 shots to beat the Senators. They will, in the first round, almost certainly, I don't know if it's locked up yet or not, almost certainly play the Montreal Canadiens. And the Canadiens have had a slide almost as dramatic as that in New Jersey, with the exception that they haven't dropped out of the playoffs.
No, they're currently sitting in fourth. Toronto could theoretically pass Montreal.
But they'd still be in fourth, and Montreal would be in fifth.
Yeah.
So it's looking like a Montreal-Toronto first round.
The Islanders could get into fifth place.
If the Leafs play the Canadiens in the first round, we're guaranteed to have
Bob Cole calling the series.
Bob Cole will call the series. And we're also guaranteed to have one Canadian team that should not be in the second round in the second round. Neither of these teams should be.
In the second round?
In the second round.
I guess. I think Montreal has earned it through their first half.
They have been atrocious for a long while.
Yeah.
Their last 20 games have been brutal.
Look at the lineup of teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Islanders, Ottawa, Rangers, Washington, really? Any of them deserve to be in the second round?
Washington, the way they've been playing lately?
No. Hang on. they sucked at the start of the year.
Right, but the last 20 games, they've been on fire.
So what?
They have been on fire.
Okay, if you're going to say that Montreal doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs because they were outstanding in the first half and then sucked in the second half, you can't then turn around and say that the Capitals deserve to be in the second round just because they switched which sides they sucked.
Actually, I totally can.
Well, you're wrong.
Last year, the Los Angeles Kings sucked until Christmas, and they turned it on, and they started playing playoff hockey right around the time that Daryl Sutter got down to L.A. And starting at New Year's, L.A. was in 15th in the conference, and they turned things around, played an awesome second half, and totally deserved to steamroll the teams that they did because they put it together at the right time.
That's dumb.
It's not dumb.
It is dumb.
It's the same thing every season. The team that puts it together at the right time is the team that deserves to move on.
And I think that's dumb.
And Montreal is playing horrible hockey through the stretch run, and you're playing bad hockey. You're backing your way into the playoffs. That is not cool.
It means that you probably won't move on, but deserving to move on? What does that even mean, Jason?
It means that this is a team that when you look at the roster and when you look at the way they're playing, this is a team that you think, yeah, this team should be playing in the second and third round of the playoffs. And Toronto are playing decently, but they're not a team that you think, yeah, this is a team that will go on a deep run, because they just don't have the hands necessary to do it. If you look at Montreal, they didn't miss a beat for the first few weeks, but they haven't played good hockey in a long time. Does that mean we want to be watching them in the second and third round? I don't think so. Pittsburgh, even with all their injuries, they have every excuse in the world. No Chris Neal, no Sidney Crosby, right? They've had all kinds of injuries. They're still winning games. This is a team that deserves to go deep in the playoffs. Washington, they're playing spirited, exciting hockey. And they're killing penalties when they should. They're scoring on power plays when they should. This is a team that deserves to go deep in the playoffs.
Okay.
I can't say the same for teams like Montreal, floundering and have been for weeks. For a team like Toronto, who is celebrating just the fact that they got in. I don't see them winning.
I'm just confused. I mean, Toronto has been the very... I mean, you mentioned opportunism from the Capitals. Toronto has been the very definition of opportunistic. They're the league leaders in shooting percentage. They are the most likely to suddenly stop being good for no apparent reason.
Well, this is why I'm saying I don't think this is a team that deserves to be in the second round. Neither of these teams, if you didn't look at who they're playing in the first round, neither of these teams are ones that you would expect to see in the final eight or the final four of the league.
All right.
But because they're going to play each other, one of them is guaranteed a spot in the final eight.
Okay.
In the East, I like Pittsburgh. I like Washington, the way they're playing.
Yeah.
They finally caught on to the plan from Adam Oates. And I like the way they're playing. I think they've got a shot to go deep.
What about Boston?
Boston, I think, is still trying to find itself post-Cup. And I think you've got some players like Milan Lucic who are just, they're not playing with a fire in their belly. And they're not playing with purpose. I think Jaromir Jagr was a great addition because he brings passion to the rink no matter what. But I don't see that translating into a deep run.
It would not at all surprise me if the top four advanced in the East.
So right now that would be Montreal, Washington, Boston, and Pittsburgh.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. The Rangers are playing without real team cohesion. So I could certainly see them falling in the first round. Although Lundqvist is a goaltender who could steal a series.
Yeah, I don't know if he can steal it against Pittsburgh, though. Ottawa is getting, apparently, Erik Karlsson back.
Yes, but they are also getting Erik Karlsson, who hasn't played in a game situation 10 weeks, in a few months. So whether or not that is a game changer or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least it's another competent body out there. At least you're not throwing an AHLer out.
Yep, but, yeah, certainly.
You remember how Bieksa struggled when he came back from the same injury, essentially.
Yep. Speaking of Bieksa, just a brief thing about the West. The Canucks have played, as I said, 3 solid games this year. And the rest of it has been hit or miss whether which Canucks team shows up. Most of the time, they don't look like a cohesive team. They have looked better since Derek Roy came. So my question to you, sir, is does Mike Gillis and does Mr. Gilman make it a priority to sign Derek Roy after the season is over?
I think they certainly try. I don't know if they'll be able to because they have been very consistent ever since they took office about keeping the cost structure similar. When they acquired Dan Hamhuis, they didn't pay him any more than Kevin Bieksa was getting. Same thing with Jason Garrison.
And that's
this
why
last offseason.
Christian Ehrhoff was allowed to depart.
Yeah. And I think Roy might be one of those. I always want to say Wah. I would not be surprised to see him depart for $5 or $6 million elsewhere.
Do you see him as being equivalent to a healthy Ryan Kessler?
He, to me, is more of a playmaker than he is a scorer. Kessler's more of a scorer. Similar, both very strong two-way players. They both control the puck very well. I think he's a better passer than Kessler is.
And certainly, since he's come here, and with David Booth being hurt, we've seen now that Derek Roy has ended up at the center position. Ryan Kessler has played the wing.
Yeah, it was interesting. Against Chicago, Kessler was the one taking the draws, but then they would switch.
And I think that's why Kessler's been playing at the center position, because he's such a strong faceoff man. But I think he's a better winger because of his scoring touch. He's a better natural winger for the rest of the game. So I think they've made a good move there. Interestingly, they traded for him in order to get a third line center.
Yeah.
And now they've ended up using both him and Kessler on the same line.
Yeah. It would not surprise me to directly answer your question to see Roy re-signed and David Booth bought out.
If they do that, they can't buy out David Booth until he is healthy. They're not allowed to buy out a player while he's on injured reserve.
That is true.
At that point, his salary is not part of the salary cap anyway. The buyout structure is only allowed during a certain period of time after the offseason or after the season ends.
I don't know. Has Booth been practicing yet? Because I remember speculation when he was hurt that this is one of those, even if he's ready, he's not going to be ready until the playoffs to circumvent the salary cap.
I honestly don't know. I haven't heard anything. The focus has mainly been on Bieksa, Tanev, and Higgins.
And today, Schneider.
And today, day-to-day, Schneider, which is making that non-move for Luongo look better and better all the time. But anyway, we are going to come back in another episode with a Western Conference chat. Do you have anything else to say about the East?
No, except that they all suck.
Because they're in the East?
Because they're in the East, yes.
I would like to say that they suck less than the Philadelphia Flyers.
Me too. And I will also say that Toronto, you have horseshoes up your ass.
How did Philly miss the playoffs? How is it that Philadelphia...
Ilya Brizgalov.
...is not in the postseason?
Ilya Brizgalov.
I see Philly making a big play for Luongo in the offseason.
They certainly could if they can find anybody to take Brizgalov's contract.
And then they could buy him out.
Yeah. That's a lot of money to buy out, though.
Philly's got money, obviously.
Toronto's not making the playoffs next year.
You don't think so?
No.
Even if they get Luongo?
Maybe if they... Well, no. What's Luongo going to change? They got Luongo-level goaltending from Reimer this year.
Hmm. I don't know if they got leadership like Luongo would give.
Ah, fuck. What's leadership?
Leadership would have given us more than 4 podcasts in the last
week. I guess so, yeah.
In that vein, thank you very much, Chris.
All right, we'll be right back with another episode. Drunken voices dragging. So cheesy.